Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
For Goals Question Time, I had the pleasure of being joined by Jenny in Cambridge and Uday in Oxford. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Andrew.
Great. So the reason I've come in contact with you guys is because I've had the privilege of being involved with the Oxbridge AI Challenge, where you've been taking dozens of ventures through, seeing what they're pitching, and then running a fantastic event at JP Morgan. So it'd be great to kick off and get an introduction from each of you. Jenny, would you like to introduce yourself and what you do in Cambridge?
Of course. Thank you, Andrew, for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm the president of Cambridge University Entrepreneurs. We're the oldest entrepreneurship society in Cambridge and the biggest as of today. And we do all sorts of programs to support startups in Cambridge. But more than anything else, we're also a student community. We aim to connect people and also to inspire people to take on entrepreneurial careers. The reason why I'm there is I was also a startup founder at Cambridge for not much more than 6 months, but all of it was a super valuable experience. And I hope to make this better and available for more people across Cambridge. And that's how, as president, I came across my counterpart here, Uday, who is in charge in Oxford. And that's how we came into Oxbridge AI, but I'm sure we'll go on to that later as well.
Great, great. And your degree, you're in land economics in...
Good point. Yes, I am doing land economy alongside doing Q, as in, yeah, I should be doing more land economy versus Q, but at the moment it's quite heavily leaning towards Q as my degree.
Great. I'll declare my interest here. I'm a graduate of Cambridge and I did economics. So we're at the same Sedgwick site, I guess, in terms of your studies.
Yes.
Good. So, Uday, let's get an introduction from yourself. I'm living quite close to Oxford now, so I probably spend more of my time in Oxford, actually. So give an introduction to yourself and what you've been doing there with the entrepreneurs and AI.
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. And you know, thanks for having us. So my name is Uday Dhamija, and I'm the lead for the Entrepreneurship Hub at the Oxford Artificial Intelligence Society. And I also study at the business school. I'm currently doing a master's in major program management. So it's essentially how do you build and manage and scale large and complex kind of organizations, whether temporary or otherwise. And I got introduced to OxAI through lots of friends last year in my college at Keble. And it was it's a very kind of robust society. We have over 30, 35 people just in the committee. And the Entrepreneurship Hub seemed to be doing a lot of different things. So when I got introduced to the current president, Jesse, I kind of negotiated with her that I'm happy to take on the responsibility if I can do this competition with Cambridge and in a particular fashion. So I'm very happy that, you know, we've been working with Jenny in order to bring about all these things into fruition. But my particular passion is entrepreneurship, impact entrepreneurship to be specific. My background is I've worked either as an entrepreneur or otherwise since I started in 2013. And I've had a couple of startups under my belt as well. And I've you know, been in Palo Alto, in the Valley. I've also done in Singapore, in Africa, and in India. So I kind of came to Oxford really wanting to bring a different slice of entrepreneurship that we see in different ecosystems. And I saw this opportunity to just go out and do it because that's the startup way. And so Jenny and I, both being entrepreneurs, we were the perfect team to make this happen.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I was inspired at the being involved with you running up to the Oxbridge AI sort of challenge. You know, I'm a great believer that we've got to bring business and startup and entrepreneurship and that into the university environment to make sure we get alignment on that and bring good things out of that environment. So great to have you here. So Jenny, would you like to kick off, please, and give us a feeling for what you went through in preparing the ventures and promoting this challenge and that you were doing in Cambridge?
Mm-hmm. Well, everything we did was together as a committee. It wasn't a separate Oxbridge, as in not separate Oxford, separate Cambridge. It was a question in the beginning about how we would like to run the committee, but quite early on, we saw that the best way to do it is if we almost put aside our previous committees, let alone our differences, and then we work together as the Oxbridge AI committee. And the practical implications of that was that Uday could talk directly with my committee without going through me. There wasn't any like rigid structure in terms of separate meetings and then a joint meeting. It was all together and at one pace. And that also reflected how we raised money, for instance. We didn't just use the budgets of the individual societies. We put those to the side and said we're going to be raising money together as this new initiative, not just funding the societies, but funding this specific idea as an innovation within the entrepreneurial ecosystem of both of these universities. So that's how we approached it. In general, in Cambridge, I thought I would recruit a separate committee for the Oxbridge AI Challenge, given it was at a magnitude that we haven't quite done before with the committee. So we wanted some people who are not only committed to be part of the Q committee, but those who are committed to this new mission as well. But alongside that, everything worked as a shared committee. And we established quite early on as well, not just that we were working together, but also that this wasn't so much like another varsity program as in Oxford versus Cambridge. It was more of a shared collaboration. We never really differentiated between Oxford and Cambridge startups throughout the entire journey, despite the fact that I chose to wear Cambridge blue at the final deliberately.
And what's the timeline? When did you kick this off? When did you start getting the first sort of submissions of venture ideas and all of that?
I'll pass on in a sec. So we started back in summer is when Uday, you guys probably took off a little bit earlier, but then we started in summer and really ramped up the work more like in September. That's when, and October was when our submission deadline took place, but a lot of the preparation happened over August and September.
Great. Uday, could you give us some of the detail of how you did the process then of promoting and vetting the initial ideas?
So it was a bit tricky because we would, like Jenny said, we started the conversations in summer. But there was a lot. We didn't have any sponsorship throughout the summer. And I think the first sponsor actually started, gave us the green light almost after we announced the competition. So it was very stressful. And essentially, the real work started like mid-September when Jenny and I, you know, we got to collaborate together proper. So we had even, you know, some of the Cambridge Q team come here at my place in this kind of living room, hanging out, getting to know each other before we got started. But really, you know, I had a bit of a family tragedy, and when I came back from that, we were 10 days away from essentially the deadline, and we just had closed our first sponsor. So we kind of like in a very startup way, we kind of regrouped and pushed. So I recruited some extra people on my side, from the Oxford side, because Cambridge were far more organized at this stage. And we were able to reach out to almost every single alumni network group in the world, several colleges. We went through every single Oxford department that would be relevant. And we managed to, in 10 days, get over 60 startups to apply. And that was, it was really powerful. And it was a really big group effort. But that really, you know, got things started. And then while that was happening, more and more sponsors started coming in. Because I remember when we were at 30 startups, suddenly the conversation with, I think it was with, not with Microsoft, but I think AWS kind of started, that we didn't end up working with them. And then finally at 50, 60, Microsoft were like, we're in. And they kind of came in within 24 hours of meeting us. So it was very exciting.
Great. And Jenny, the numbers and the filtering that you did at Cambridge, how did that work in terms of selecting the ones to go through?
Yeah, well, that actually started a little bit earlier. We realized that the numbers weren't quite as we were hoping for, as in it was quite high for a startup competition in my experience, but still wasn't at quite the scale of the ambition we've imagined. So halfway along the line, we had to like scrap the previous deadline and just go into turbo mode, just like start contacting everyone who is relevant. Because we found that the startup quality was the same with the new applicants as well. It's not that, it's more about the fact that not everyone had heard of us beforehand. But once we had enough applicants, roughly the same on both the Oxford and the Cambridge side, then for the vetting, the judges team within our subcommittee developed quite a rigorous standardized criteria, because it wasn't the judges who were in judging the final who were judging every single stage. Instead, we had like a set out document with percentages of, I think, 9 different characterizations by which you can score a startup, from the technical expertise to the go-to-market strategy. And all of those weighted averages were what really led people through to the next round. But that was more relevant for the later rounds. For the first round, I'm very happy to say that we managed to let every single applicant pitch. It was an over 2-day event for the first round, but every single applicant of Oxford JI got at least one chance to pitch in front of a professional audience, and also to crucially to receive feedback for it. And I'm very proud that we've managed to make that happen in the end.
Excellent. Yeah, I certainly find from my involvement within Angel Networks at any business school, or what I've been mentoring at the Saïd Business School and the AI programs and that there, I think, you know, it's the value of that feedback to the founders and those sort of startups is the bit that's the most value in that here. It's not necessarily the end bit and the winner. Getting the feedback, giving them perspectives to pivot, giving them contacts, giving them mentoring, I think is the great value. And then learning as well for the students and the academics and all that participate in that, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm very proud that when it came to feedback, so I've done a few startup competitions myself before, and I've been lucky enough to even win one, but feedback is a rare gift. And I think every single person who's gone through the competition, even if it, you know, in Oxford, we obviously had a few, we weren't able to let everyone pitch because of the numbers we had, but we made sure that everyone got feedback. And when it came to after the first round and the semifinals, it's, you know, it took like a week of emails just to make sure everyone could do that. So I'm really proud of the effort made by you know, both the Q and OxAI teams to put this together. When it came to the judging criteria, you know, another thing that was really apparent to us is how can we make sure that at early stage, especially given where people really are at the university, how we can really push these through. So we decided to emphasize more on like team, as well as a few other components in the weightage, so that the judges can fairly reflect and support those individuals who are just at our idea stage. And so we, even in the first round in Oxford, we had a company that was making $500,000 a month, essentially, who had come into the competition. And it was a big question for the judges what to do this. But, you know, as a committee, we were very clear, as much as we love for these guys to make us look good, that we draw this kind of fantastic startup talent. This competition is to promote entrepreneurship, starting at the grassroots, moving forward.
Yeah. So we had the AI challenge, the Oxbridge AI challenge final at a fantastic grand hall at JP Morgan at the beginning of December. So you've gone from the summer kicking it off, the running around getting sponsors and pushing for more entrants and that sort of in September, then to the grand final at JP Morgan. So Jenny, maybe you could give us a bit of a perspective on the ones that were there then presenting and the format of the day.
Yes, well, first of all, we had the 10 finalists pitch in the end in 2 different sessions. Actually, no, 9, because one of them stepped back due to unavailability, but 9 different startups were pitching at the final. The one thing I can say about them, just that it applies for every single one of them, is throughout the 3 rounds, they definitely made big improvements. Even though they all came as very talented and some of them very experienced founders relative to the student founder scene, they also went a long way from their first pitch in front of judges to the final one, which was absolutely really good to see, because it shows the added value of our competition beyond the financial benefit for the ones who actually win. So that was the final. We also had a brilliant judging panel of 11 people there, which made the event very special, because those 11 judges were from quite prestigious companies, from JP Morgan to major investors and sponsors. So yeah, that was basically the judges. I don't know what else did the question relate to. Sorry, Andrew.
No. That's a great introduction to it. And I think the thing that I was impressed there, sitting a few rows back in this great hall, was that I'd say that range of judges that you had, I'd say 11 there, from JP Morgan's, Taylor Wessling, Microsoft, you know, the questions and the feedback they were giving during the presentations, but I'm sure also during the networking sort of time and that afterwards, that was, you know, that was a really valuable part. Were there any particular bits that highlighted for you that struck you, Jenny, because you were there running around hosting it and announcing it and all that, but what was your sort of feeling in that on the day?
On the day, one of my favorite jobs I had, of course, of the many tasks I had to run on the day, was being able to select who gets to say the next question when it came to the question time. Because at once, of course, the judges took off because they're the professionals. But after that, we needed to give it to the audience as well. And the audience just had so many questions that it was always really difficult to choose. But it was a kind of a good thing. I enjoyed having that kind of, not authority, but the pleasure of seeing how much interest and like sometimes very like deep questions are coming from not only the amazing judges but the audience as well, and striking that kind of balance so that they get exposure, the people pitching get exposure to a wide range of questions.
Yeah, and your co-host Udo, you were impressive, the two of you. You were a great double act. I must sort of praise you and that for that. So what was your perspective on the day and on the run up to this final sort of selection?
Yeah, so I mean, rule number one is if Jenny says something, you do what Jenny says. You know, so she told me to wear an Oxford blue, it's more of a navy blue kind of. So I wore a jumper. It was quite warm in there, but it kind of worked out. The run-up to it was quite exciting. You know, like Jenny mentioned, the improvement that the startups really made at each stage, I was very happy with. Many of the finalists actually took advantage of the mentorship sessions that we provided in the challenge, as well as engaging with the workshops that we had organized through our sponsors and otherwise. So you could really see the difference. And it was made very clear, you know, some of these people, actually, they've been approached for investing by all sorts of different people. So you could really see how much they've worked very hard, and giving them those 2 weeks to do that, I think, was also quite important. But on the day itself, you know, I had a, having done a lot of kind of like public speaking and kind of events before, my approach to it was very like, you know, planning is where it really is. So really good planning leads to good execution. And on the day, you know, you just have to roll with the punches. So I thought, you know, Jenny and I did a very good job. I think Jenny gets, you know, particular salute for her hard work. And then in terms of just the audience and the engagement, I was very happy. And so we just went with it. And I really enjoyed myself. And having a good time with the team was actually the most important thing for me. So I'm glad to have a good time together.
Good.
Yes, actually on that, one of my favorite moments relating to like the fantastic work that you've done, Uday, and the committee as well, is just those couple of, I think it was roughly an hour between the end of the pitches and when we continued on with the announcements. And in that hour, everything was going so well, and the compared to what we were expecting with all the magnitude of things going on. But we got all the results in, we were just editing the presentation, we're all having like at least a glass of wine in our hands in a beautiful venue in a private committee room provided by JP Morgan, with like small little canapes. It felt very exclusive. So all of a sudden, like from a student, an unpaid student, you know, doing it in the library, doing it in like in my bed is when I work on this. All of a sudden, we are having all these fancy wines, fancy canapes in this brilliant room, and with a wonderful committee of students, of course, but a lot of people like Uday have run successful businesses, and it felt like there's a lot of potential and positive energy in the room.
Oh no, there definitely was. No, I was really impressed, as I said, by all of your organisation in doing it, because I've been involved in so many angel presentations and events about the presentations run over. You know, the whole event sort of runs late, or you know, the presentations don't work and whatever, and you were so smooth and so professional and that on the you made it look as if it was easy in that anyway, but I know the hard work that goes behind it.
So we're lucky, Andrew, that we had two rounds to learn from as well, so it's and everyone in the committee got a chance to lead, you know, when it comes to these different rounds and things. So I thought overall it was a with the finals, we felt prepared.
Excellent. Look, in the notes for this, we're going to put in all of the finalists that presented and that they're on the day. But I'm going to give you a difficult a difficult decision now. I'd like you to each choose a couple of the ones. So we'll leave Jenny go first. Would you like to pick one of the ones that was presenting on the final day? They don't have to necessarily be the finalists or the winners, but would you like to pick one and give a brief description of what they were doing and how that team worked?
Yeah, okay. I'll go ahead with Regfile. They were one of the winners of the 5K prize. I love the fact that they basically, so to give a quick idea of them, without, I don't want to misrepresent them by accident, so sorry if Regfile are listening, but basically they developed an AI-based compliance tool for businesses, I believe especially banks. And because of like the background of the founders, they developed it specifically with Africa, I believe Nigeria, in mind, because of the unique challenges that are faced by like regulation and also anti-fraud, so in Nigeria, and how it relates to like the global payments infrastructure and banking infrastructure. So I think they had a fantastic pitch, and I love the way that they connected it. They were like a real example of storytelling, what we tend to teach people about how to pitch. They also had the expertise. They proven to us how they built this correctly, and also they had that kind of impact focus that was like almost unparalleled, and that really showcased the way in which AI can be deployed to almost anything, but also to a specific like regional and a global challenge at the same time.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good impactful presentation, and yeah, it was a good show of AI application as well. So Uday, which one would you like to talk about?
So it's tricky. I was hoping Jenny would tell her two first, so then I can...
No, you're going to go one each now.
Okay. I mean, I do agree with her opinion on Regfile. They're a very impressive team. And as a business, they ticked all the boxes. So I'm expecting very big things for them. But I'm going to go with Adalat AI, who was the LawTech, which is essentially using artificial intelligence in order to capture what's happening in the courtroom to be able to speed up the process. So India's, you know, you have the volume of cases that go through the courts in India and many parts of the world is just immense. So this kind of technology, I think, is going to really make a huge difference, especially at a time in a country which is really adopting digitization at a very powerful rate. So I've with Kirsch, who's one of the founders, I actually met him in a Chinese takeaway quite randomly earlier last year. And we just started talking about legal tech. Little did I know he was going to apply, how much he's developed, what he's done. And he's very impressive. And even since the competition, he's been getting all this positive attention that him and his team deserve. So don't be surprised if you hear a lot more about them. And I love the business model. It's very much following the steps of Mozilla to try and provide technology in such a way that's, you know, really goes to the masses because of the social entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I like that presentation as well, because I think it was a great example of AI not sort of taking people's jobs, because the transcription job that's currently done is very difficult, time consuming and expensive. But, you know, they showed a fantastic example of using AI, which brings benefits to the whole sort of court system and area. Jenny, one more from you, please.
OK, in that case, I'll have to go with Inex AI, who were a very interesting team, because yeah, we both were rooting for them because of like how they've developed and been a core part of the Oxbridge AI Challenge. They, of course, they didn't end up winning a prize, but that's probably why I think it's good to mention them anyway. So Carl, who is, I believe, the CEO of this startup, is near to completing a manufacturing engineering PhD that is based on, that is being applied currently in like hospital knowledge sharing and other infrastructure. I really don't want to go into it just in case I completely misrepresented, but it's related to the NHS, and he's had some kind of testing within some of the NHS trusts already. And also, of course, then comes the AI application to something that is already part of a broader PhD project, something that is very applicable within healthcare systems. I think the reason why this is interesting is because it relates to, as I said, like a PhD project, but something that benefits from the application of AI into the whole idea, which may not have been there in the original. It's a sort of innovation down the line of a project in a very exciting way with new developments. I also happen to know that he's a good rower, which I believe benefits any kind of team as it does.
Very good. And Udo, one more from you, please.
Sure. I'm so happy you mentioned InX because, you know, they really, I thought their presentation was fantastic. They've really a treat to work with. So I'm glad I get to add another person to the list now. So I actually really like JRE, Jorge from Mexico. So he won one of the prizes. And, you know, Jorge's actually been fantastic. And he's got all this, like, real-world experience building something he didn't put in the pitch. One of the people he's working with, the distributors, they like what they're doing so much, they actually funded the build. And I, in terms of having a very simple, straightforward niche that can really attack a massive market like steel manufacturing, he's really onto something. So it just reminds me of my early career trying to look at that sector as well. So I think both him, his team, and what they're doing, these are things that are actually going to change the game for a lot of people. I even told him actually after the pitch he should call himself Damascus AI. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but I thought, you know, Damascus Steel, quite world famous. He might prefer a more Japanese kind of name, considering that's the main market they've been working with. But yeah, these are very exciting four startups and I'm glad Jenny's definitely mentioned Regfile and InX. They're really, really something special.
Great. Jenny, would you like to give us the rundown that the judges panel actually selected then in terms of from the finalists?
Wow, I won't be able to name all 11 off by heart. I think we can
just the ones who won the cash prizes. That'll be good just to get the top ones that won on the day.
The judges. Oh, so would you like a list of the people, the teams who won, or the judges who awarded them?
No, the judges, the teams that won that the judges on the day selected, and you gave the checks to, and that. So can you remind us who those ones were?
Yes, of course. Well, obviously, the one team who we really should mention here is the winning team of 25K. They are Ignita Labs, from Cambridge. I believe they're a spin out focusing on AI assisted drug discovery in very briefly. So, yeah, they won the main prize awarded by Digital Realty. Dai, do you want to continue with the second prize and we can take turns?
Sure. Then we had Chris. So both Digital Realty and Microsoft were our platinum sponsors. And Chris, who is part of the Entrepreneurship Hub team, as well as the Imagine Cup. So he's got like 15, 20 years of judging competitions like this. So it was really fantastic having him. And Dallas AI, Utkarsh, who we mentioned earlier, you know, they took second prize. It was a very close contest. Though Jenny and I were not allowed anywhere near the discussion. We wanted to keep it very unbiased. I'm very happy with both Chris as a judge and Utkarsh as the winner.
Yeah, no, Chris from Microsoft, I was impressed by his questions, and they're sitting in the middle of the panel and that as well. Jenny, the other ones that won
there? So third place, if I remember well in the order, was Regfile, who we've already mentioned. They won one of the 5K awards. I'm just having a look at all the other ones as well.
There was AgriLink. I was impressed by in that there, and went and spoke to them because they were doing that was the Africa sort of solution and that for agricultural businesses, and that wasn't it. And
yeah, it was fantastic to have two different Africa solutions in the final, because I think Udai and I both relate in a way to this because I grew up in Africa and I lived 3 or 4 years in various African countries, and Udai has worked extensively in Zimbabwe before, so there's just a weird way in which this connects quite a few of us there.
I went to speak to those founders and that as well, because I had experience of some charity work with World Vision in Zambia with the base of the pyramid sort of agriculture and developing the capabilities and that there as well, so I was impressed and spoke to them on a bit of my experience in that space. Yeah.
And my mother is a social entrepreneur as well, relating to an African charity that she founded while we were living in Mali, which is in West Africa. which I could talk a lot about, but that is my kind of personal connection to like social entrepreneurship in Africa as well.
And the other finalist was JRE, the one at the final 5K prize, and that wasn't it.
So we had so it was Alexandra who gave Regfile their prize from JP Morgan. We had James from Taylor Wessington who gave AgriLink, and AgriLink a very strong team. And then we had Miss Shanshan Wong from Stability.ai, which is, you know, very, very powerful technology that's really enabling a lot of people to do work with generative AI. So it was a really good combination of judges, and I think the winners really deserved it.
Yeah.
I wish we had a sixth prize for InX. I would say that. I wish we had a sixth prize for InX because I thought that was fantastic.
Okay, so that's fantastic, guys, to go through that whole process you've been through with Oxbridge AI Challenge and that. Can we just take a little step back now and get from each of you your perspective really about how AI now is going to be changing business and sort of changing society? Because, you know, since I graduated, I've been involved in tech and business change, and I've been through the internet wave and all of that. And I'm seeing now AI, I think, is going to be a bigger, more disruptive wave than the internet, even going back to the beginning of the late 90s. So I'm interested in your sort of younger generation now, what your perspective on that is on how AI is going to be changing the world and that, really. So Jenny, would you like to give us your perspective on that first?
Yeah, so, well, I can speak for startups first and foremost. So I guess when I first started being interested in entrepreneurship, then saying that, oh, this is an AI-related product was like something like super niche. But I feel like today it's almost the other way around. And I've heard a pitch from someone about their startup, and I was like, are you not thinking of adding AI to this scheme? Like, whatever you're doing could be done a lot better if you did it with AI. And it's almost at this point, if your startup has nothing to do with AI, then you got to explain yourself. Like, you feel like there's a reason why it's so exciting these days. And of course, this is an exaggeration. There are very many projects and startups who don't need anything to do with AI. But in general, this is different to, I think, most hypes, in the sense that I've even talked to someone in VC, and we're sort of talking about the AI hype, what will happen with it. And he's saying that actually it's probably underhyped compared to the scale of the change that could be enabled within business and is already being enabled in business through AI. If anything, we could be doing a much bigger hype than we are right now. And that is not something I've ever encountered through my education previously and my interest in business. It's changing it fundamentally. I can't predict where society will change through AI, but I try to, at least for now, I want to make the optimistic case, although obviously there is plenty of risks and also problems happening right now with AI, with biases and all sorts of problems. But I have to say that in my life and the people around me have been very positively impacted. If nothing else, the ability to learn things like coding for my dissertation is so much faster that I think that collectively the knowledge that we are accessing quicker and more effectively and communicating more effectively will lead to productivity gains and also social gains that are much higher than even from the internet as well. Of course, we have to manage the risks, but that's a completely different topic. And that's from my side.
I totally agree with you, Jenny. I think and I think as the AI challenge and that showed, you know, the presentations and the finalists and that you had were coming at it from the benefits to society, the benefits to the businesses, and that. And it was like, well, we just happen to be using AI. And I very much agree with that. I think it's moved now beyond I'm an AI startup. I think organizations, just AI's got to be in there, just like you've got to use electricity, just like you've got to use the internet. You know, this is going to be in there. I think the bit that I spend my time doing now is, how is it going to disrupt particular industries? Because whole industries could be changed fundamentally, I think, with what's going to happen here. And it's going to happen from the bottom up with lots of different startups and organizations that have been established for some time, then bringing on these new capabilities that are now available. Udo, what's your perspective on that, on the AI impact now?
So it's very interesting. You know, like, I've been looking at AI from a machine learning perspective for 5-6 years, and But there's two elements of what I think of when I see what's going to happen. One is disruption. And I like to my supervisor at Oxford, Mark Ventresca, he shared the story of Adobe, how they started. And just to summarize it very quickly, the number of people who used to be graphic designers prior to Photoshop or InDesign versus after went from hundreds of thousands to millions, you know. And so AI has that level of disruption, which I feel is very exciting. And what I'm actually very positive about is, like Jenny mentioned, education and how people learn. So in that sense, I think AI is actually the most powerful thing we've ever had to enable individuals to manage and participate in the changes society we're going to have, because they're all going to have access to tailored, customized kind of education and content, which is going to make their kind of ingestion of these things faster and more effective. So we're going to have, you know, in a very positive way, huge disruptions in people's lives, them being able to jump, you know, whether it's regions or you know, different parts of society. And I'm very excited about these two elements of AI.
Yeah. No, I very much agree. And I think building on that, I think from what I found using it, you know, when you prompt it appropriately and when you ask it the right sorts of questions and you're using it for the right sort of means, it produces much better output than I could produce. So I'm sort of excited or challenged by it, sort of thinking, well, if you're using AI appropriately, you could be an Oxbridge graduate. I think it levels up so many people and frees up lots of potential now for people and society to be learning and creating great benefits and all that. So I think there's a big change coming from that perspective and that as well.
So. Yes, and it's only going to get better, you know, the technology. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, just in, you know, you've been around for some time with the machine learning and sort of stuff like that. But this Gen AI stuff in the last year has created that step change and freed it up considerably. And you know, back to my internet experience, it was, you know, the Netscape and Mosaic in the late 90s and sort of 2000. And what I sort of described recently at a summit was that it was, you know, Jeff Bezos took the basics of this stuff in the late 90s and now is transformed sort of the internet, and the organizations are still trying to catch up with online retail. Yeah. And I'm just interested in who's going to be the Josephine Bezos now, who's going to create this next wave out of AI, taking the basics now, and it's just going to be transformed in the next few years. It's going to be a transformational change.
No, it's amazing. And I actually feel very privileged that, you know, Jeremy and I and the team, we've been able to participate in seeing this kind of engagement of change within Oxford and Cambridge, because the quality of the talent is just incredible. You know, these are people who are going to change the world. And
yeah, excellent. Jenny, any final words on that from yourself, please? It's a great ending.
Final words is, we'll be doing this again next year. If there's one thing we haven't yet talked about is, but we all seem to unite on, we'll see exactly how it will work out and how it will be run, what changes we will make. But in some form, this project will continue to grow and under our leadership and being involved with both societies. All of these, there will be some announcements coming up in the next couple of months, because there might be some exciting changes, some exciting new developments as always. But the main message is, we are glad to continue this project for all of the reasons that we've talked about previously.
Excellent. And I'll be delighted to be involved in that again next year if you invite me or would like me to be involved in the organization. So thank you very much to you both. It's been a pleasure catching up with you and sharing your story and that with our viewers and listeners. Thank you.
Likewise, Andrew. Thank you so much for having us.
Please give a 5-star like and subscribe to future interviews.